Hello and welcome to episode 17, season 2 of the Purple Patch, a Fremantle Dockers podcast brought to you by two dedicated Fremantle fans. It's Duck and Oz here from the Purple Rain.
Yeah!
And Oz, mate, I know we're pumped, but it's the last game we're going to preview for the year.
I know.
Preview. That's saying how re-sign and resign are very closely spelt together.
You run off often enough, it often pays off.
Oh, hello. Settle down, big fella. Okay, guys, it's round 18, Sunday, 4:10, Kazali Stadium.
Oh, dockery.
20 to 30 degrees on the old temperature, mate. 30% chance of rain, so now that it's going to rain right on 4:10 WE, Western Standard Time, mate.
Cut to the chase. Why didn't they just put it on at 11:59 PM?
Yeah, well, I think it's scheduled for 10 o'clock on a Friday. That's when they put out the initial schedule. Look, I forgot that there's the week off before the bye. Yeah. And I was going to say it was a real opportunity for us to stuff with the Eagles because, you know, because of the day's break and they wouldn't have been able to quarantine Western Bulldogs, rah-dee-rah-rah. But then I forgot there's a whole week off, so doesn't matter. There's no matter, baby. Yep. But look, the 9-7 Western Bulldogs take on the 7-9 Fremantle Dockers. Oz, how about these for some stats? I got some stats for you before you don't you touch a damn thing, mate. In the last 5 games, the Dockers against Western Bulldogs are 4-1. In the last 20 games, they're 11-9 versus the Western Bulldogs. All-time record, 16-16 each. So whoever wins this one's got a chance to go ahead in the old ledger.
Yep.
And the Dockers are a red-hot sniff, mate. Look, the Dogs have to win to guaranteed finals. The Dockers have only pride to play for. But knowing J-Lo and the character of the Fremantle Dockers and what is instilled in the culture of the Dockers, mate.
I know
we'll be fighting for every contest, mate. I know that will be the key. So, Oz, let's step inside the match committee. Now, Oz, mate, match committee time.
Yeah.
We've got 3 players available, mate. They're up for a test, so they may be available. Griffin Logue, Reece Conker, Brett Bewley, all a test this week. Do you bring, my question to you is, do you bring any of those guys back in?
No change, baby.
No change.
That's my opinion because the team played so well, exposing younger players to more game time. I love Toby Watson.
Yep.
I love what he's about. You know my theory about a redhead in a team.
Yep.
It's the final piece to the puzzle. Mm. It's the matrix.
Yeah.
It's the red pill.
Yep.
And I think, giving another opportunity, mate, I think...
He was solid. He had one cat 10, but he was very good. Look, I put Dooman and Watson have been solid, and they're the 2 guys that would probably likely go out for a Logue or a Conker. Do we start fresh in 2020? Look, Logue's been out for 12 weeks with the turf toe. Conker only a week, and there was a precautionary with his hamstring. But, Oz, do we not also want to play our best 22? Is that not what we're about?
Yeah, I think
here
clearly
that's
the overriding issue here. Mm. Are we playing our best 22 versus getting games into players? I mean, I have to look at this rationally.
Yeah.
And my opinion on this is that there's not going to be a better opportunity to get games into players in the current situation that we find ourselves in. We're not making finals. We find ourselves a game out of the 8, Duck. Mm. And, you know, that's obviously games gone by, but...
Yeah.
How we've played in the past, you know, 5-6 weeks or whatever, I think has been tremendous. It's a credit to J-Lo and the leadership team. It's a credit to Belly. It's a credit to the president, Dale Alcock, Simon Garlick. These guys that have been putting time in behind the scenes to make this team come to fruition. And we're not there yet, clearly, but we've got the makings of a superb team. And in this context, mate, let them play one more game.
Yeah. We've won, mate. I really think finishing the season on a winning note, going back to the hub, and you know, we lose against Richmond, but then we beat a Melbourne side that's highly fancied. We beat a North Melbourne side that, you know, downright trash. But then we beat a Western Bulldogs side, mate. And I think it gives us so much optimism going into 2021 and momentum and knowing that, hey, these are the tough times that you got to get through. And you know what, Oz? I don't know why people keep thinking that next year everything's just going to be fine. Like once the calendar turns over, COVID goes away and all this kind of stuff. I honestly think that next year will be hubs again. we'll be doing this again until there's some kind of vaccine or something happens where it gets eliminated within the Australian borders. But at the moment, I can't see anything changing much to next year. Now, maybe they'll have longer hubs, maybe in Adelaide or in West Australia, or maybe they'll be in New South Wales. But I can't see us going back to the home and away season, and I can't see games in Victoria for a long time.
Mm.
You know, I know that sounds a bit dramatic, but...
Well, look, it's interesting. I mean, look, going back to my original point, Duck, I think the reason why I don't want to change the team is I think the players have earned their spot. I mean, I love that, and I think it's very important to clarify that rather than just say, you know, games into players, that these guys have earned that.
Big time.
The way that they've played, sensational.
Big time.
And the other thing you've got to think about is, you know, you're bringing potentially players back for one more game of the season when, you know, are they best served, you know, coming back through the Magoos?
Yeah. Well, and as well, a big preseason, say someone like a Griffin Logue, give him a big preseason, get him up and about. You know, I feel like, I don't know what, I think turf toe's a bit of an impact injury, I think.
And Sandy's the last guy to have that, I believe.
Yeah, well, yeah, probably. But, you know, what if we get so much turf toe down at the Dockies? But, you know, like get him, you know, does he need, he obviously doesn't need surgery or anything now, but get him up and about, get him ready for 2021, you know, and let's have a red hot crack with a fully fit Griffin Logue with a big preseason under his belt because, you know, that's the big improvement all the time. What was it? Uninterrupted preseason.
Mm.
You know, so if we can get these guys with an uninterrupted preseason, it'd be fantastic. I'd really love to see, now that we're on the topic, mate, I'd love to see Belly come out in his little injury update that he does and tell us how each of those guys that are in season-ending injuries are actually progressing. Like, this guy, he'll still be injured for the next, you know, he won't get back into full training for another 10 weeks.
Mm.
This guy won't be back. He'll be back for the start of preseason. He's going to miss a bit of preseason, rah, rah, rah. I know that sounds a little bit, you know, maybe asking a bit, but it'd be lovely for the club to disclose that, mate, and just say, look, this is where the players are at, you know, so we can look forward even more into next year.
Well, I think
if we know Sam Sturt's only out for like 2 more weeks, he's like, because they just say season now.
Yeah.
Like they're like 3 weeks, well, there's only two weeks.
Well, let's face it, you know? It's a huge step up from the TBAs.
Yeah.
And what I loved about the club from the get-go, and it's something that Dale Alcock promoted as well, it's that open dialogue with the supporters.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that transparency is going to bring supporters closer to the club.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that can perhaps in this case be further enhanced.
Yeah, definitely, so. Definitely. And I think, you know, now that the footy season is 12 months a year, it is 365, mate, it's all the time. Like, I think there are Dockers fans that sit there like us that go, how are they progressing? And, you know, we know and we know now as fans that getting a full preseason is important. So how are those guys going? How's it looking? And being open and transparent is very important to the members. Mate, shall we get into the matchups?
Oh, boy.
Now, first matchup, mate. I've changed things. I've thrown the matchups out the window, mate, because you're going to talk about some midfielders, but I'm also going to talk about some mids because I'm the backs, the forwards, I'm over it now. Okay, I've talked about the same blokes week in, week out. I've
been doing similar.
No. But, mate, I want to talk about the Ruck Dog matchup This is one that fans of Dockers always talk about. And I know I was one of those people. You know, Logue versus English. And then what happens with Darcy. But Darcy versus English. Okay, essentially this was Ruckman number one and Ruckman number two in the draft. Now, Darcy's pick 38, English is pick 19. A country Victorian boy who goes to WA and a country WA guys who goes to Victoria. So very interesting there. Country boys generally are quite happy staying wherever they need to stay. Look, Darcy's played 26 games, English 29. Darcy's 202 centimetres, English 205. So 3 centimetre difference there. But as we know, Darcy, tall but also wide, English tall and skinny. So 93 kegs for English to 113 kegs to Darcy. So he's got 20 kegs on him, mate. Which is, that's a fair chunk of change.
You'd want to be using that.
Well, the Ruck Dog, Darcy does use it really well, mate. Hit out percentage wins, Darcy 49.1% versus English 29.2%. Hit outs to advantage, Darcy 15.9% to English 8.9%. So, look, Oz, it's a real battle of two completely different schools of ruckman.
Mm.
The one school where you need your ruckman to be mobile around the ground, a second mid, the other school to be, all right, the ruckman's there. Job one, win the ruck tap. Job two, protect, you know, around the contest, maybe create some space. You know, so it's really interesting where two clubs have essentially diverged in their thought process on the ruckman. Now, obviously, you'd want someone who can do it all, like a Brodie Grundy or maybe a Max Gawn, and hopefully within time, Darcy and English both become those type of players where they can do it all. That would be fantastic. I'd love to see the growth of those. But I think it's really interesting. We see Darcy as a young man. We keep forgetting how young he is. He's only 22. I think people look at ruckman, they're like, they're automatically 27.
Yeah.
Like, they're automatic. But he's a baby-faced assassin, mate. He's done a great job against Gawn and Goldstein in the last 2 weeks, who are two really good, big, lumbering ruckmen. Look, he managed to get forward and kick some goals as well, which has been great in the last couple of rounds as well. And his goal against Gawn last week, where he just pushed him off and then kicked the goal, was a really great show of strength. He's dropped his free kick count. It's still quite high. I think it's second in the comp, only to Mumford, who just gives away free kicks. That's all he seems to do now. But his free kick count's dropped right off, which has been really good. And I think he's in for a pretty good game in terms of ruck knocks. It'll be how he can match English around the ground, because English wants to play kick behind play. Look, his role is different. He gets around the ground. He's first class with his skills. You know, his marking and his contested marking is really good. So it'll be can Darcy, with the assistance of Lobb, get on top of essentially English, which hopefully they do. And once they do that, mate, it gets down to your blokes who are in the matchup on the ground.
Yeah, look, and quickly on that, I love that matchup, mate. And I think people forget that Tim English was actually a very skilled midfielder in his junior days. Yeah. And I think, you know, blossomed later on into a ruckman. I think it speaks to the prototype positionless type player who can go from back to forward in terms of their skill. And he is that sort of player.
Yeah.
But I think I love the way that you talked about Darcy there, because I think he's going to use his brute strength. And he's actually coming on. He's great hands. You know, I love this. It's great. Anyway, this one's called Caleb Squared.
Caleb Squared?
Caleb Squared. We're going to go Caleb Daniel versus Caleb Sarong. Now, I understand that Caleb Daniel's sort of more so coming off the back line. But you know what, Duck? Let's just chuck him in the middle and put him together. Let's just pretend that that's going to happen. And it's got nothing to do with their height and their comparison there. But the actual stats across the board, mate, are actually quite similar.
Yeah.
If you look at the draft position, obviously, you know, Caleb Daniel down, and you would expect to be because of his height. He was pushed down the pecking order, but he's proven to be a very handy player.
Mm.
He's averaging 20 disposals a game. His goal assists have improved from last year, which is really strong. His contested possessions, 6 per game. Uncontested possessions, just under 11.5 per game. But his disposal efficiency going at 83%. And they rely on him by foot. There's no doubt about it. He's on the scoring chain. And if you look at his score involvements per game, he's averaging just a little under 4 per game. So meters gained for Caleb Daniel as well as 330.6. So he is a really important factor in driving the Doggies forward. And I thought that they went once against the Eagles, if you look at that game, once the Eagles put some time into him, they sort of slowed a little bit.
Yeah.
But then obviously he was able to work his way back into the game. Now, Caleb Sarong, you know, where the stats actually match is through the middle. So his disposal's not too bad. So he's at 16.2 in comparison, but he's working his way through. He's a young tacker. Inside 50, 3.1 per game. Contested possession, 7.2, because obviously he's at more inside mid. He's doing real well there. His stoppage clearances as well, Ducks, not too bad. So 2.2 as well. So, you know, what we love about Caleb Sarong is his decision-making. He's a very smart footballer. You've said this on The Rain. Make sure you subscribe and listen to that. He's very clean by foot, but he just makes great decisions. It's very rare that you see him make a cat 10.
Yeah.
Because he's always one step ahead.
Yeah.
It's why I love watching him play football.
Yeah.
So I think this particular matchup, whilst I don't think it eventuates as such, I really like the idea of Caleb Squared.
Mm.
I think that these two have a significant impact on each of their teams respectively.
And you know what, Oz? I think we could see this matchup, because I can see Sarong going to Daniels potentially on a half-back, half-forward flank for us, playing a defensive lockdown role there, you know, like, and then running into the mids and getting his own ball. So, you know, in terms of could Sarong match up against, say, a Bontempelli? I don't think he's just too big.
Yeah.
So maybe a McRae, or maybe if you shut down Daniels on that half-back wing area And that could be Sarong matchup, mate.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Mate, just a quick shout out to me at the start of the year who said we should have picked up Devin Robinson, who's played one game for Brisbane. I just thought I'd and me saying that why did we pick up Sarong when we've got a WA guy there who's supposed to be a class inside mid
PhD.
Just another great call by Duck, mate. Just another one. Just really killed myself again. Doesn't matter. Hey, Oz, let's two good rolling. Matchups. We keeping rolling or
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we're rolling, baby.
All right, let's get into dual citizens, mate. No break, no rest for the wicked or rest for the blessed. Got that one the other day, mate. I like
that one. Here we go.
Dual citizen, mate. Now, I wanted to do it on Brad Weirer, but I couldn't find much about him, so I'll need to do a deeper dig because this man I wanted to talk about, one Stephen Coops.
Oh, boy.
And we know Stephen Coops and, you know, just pessimistically looking ahead, has a strong connection to a guy. May play his last game for the Dockers on the weekend, but we don't know. We don't know. I doubt that he will. I think he'll go around for one more year. But, hey, look, Stephen Coops, the youngest ever Docker at 17 years and 277 days. Mate, just having a look back through. You know, Byron Shammer, I think, was second youngest Docker. Remember when we used to be able to draft people at, like, 17? Remember that crazy idea that the AFL had? 17-year-olds? Hey, look, he was a zone selection for the Fremantle Dockers in 1995. He was the Hunter Harrison medal winner for the best player in the Division 2 of the under-18s in 95. From 96 to 03, obviously, he played for the Dockers. 78 games and 49 goals, known for his high-flying ability. Knee injury at the end of 99 resulted in him taking a thing called pethidine, which was a banned substance. Essentially, he got no penalty, although he was found guilty by ASADA. But then they found him not guilty. The AFL overturned it and found him not guilty because I'm pretty sure they did it during a surgery. He had surgery on his knee, and they've given him the drug, obviously, which is like a morphine or something like that. Dockers were fined $5,000 for not notifying the AFL that he was having the surgery. Cheers. Classic. Classic.
Back
classic
then, $5,000 was like a million.
Mate, obviously, he's traded for pick 19 in the 2003 National Draft. Now, Oz, going on my deep dive, all right, on the Big Footy chat groups, there was talk about, because in the 2003 Waffle Grand Final, he played really well for West Perth, and he won the flag for them in 99 and 03. But he played really well, and there's talk of the Eagles getting him. And apparently, they were like, oh, yeah, he's uncontracted. We can get him in the preseason draft. Like, he's pretty much a free pick. And everyone's saying, yeah, oh, is he worth it? Nah, he'll be no good. And, like, Dockers fans are like, trust me, he won't be any good for you guys. He's no good for us. We managed to get pick 19 for him. Now, Oz, I went back and had a look through, all right? Had a look through. Obviously, pick 19 becomes David Mundy, who, in terms of all-time robberies, David Mundy for Stephen Coops, who played 11 games for the Western Bulldogs, is an absolute steal. Now, at the time, Coops was getting superseded by Dion Woods and Roger Hayden. So even though he played down the different end, I got this from an Age article, and I looked at it and I thought, a little bit racial. Like, Dion Woods and Roger Hayden, wrong end of the field. So Coops just wasn't getting games, mate. In the three games he played against the Western Bulldogs, so he's a, you know, a rangy half forward. Miraculous mark. He kicked one goal one in total, right? And he averaged 9 disposals. So one of these weird ones where what did the Western Bulldogs see in those three games that he played against them that they're like, this guy, get him in. Mind you, you know, Oz, he was only 26 by the time he went to the Bullies. Obviously, injuries cut his career short. Now, a couple of quick facts for him. Highest game played for number 28 at the Freo Dockers.
Hey.
One fact. Second fact. At Western Bulldogs, he wore number 51 in honour of Magic McLean, who obviously played there as well and played at the Brisbane Bears. So, wore number 51.
Hey.
His old man, Henry Coops, is from Dutch origin, hence the term Coops, and his mum's Indigenous. He was a part of Oz, the record-breaking 7 Indigenous players that played in 2003 for the Dockers. It's later been broken by the Dockers. Yes. Now, Oz, putting you on the spot.
Oh.
And I'll let you decide. How many of the 7 do you think you can name? Well, Coops is obviously one. So of the other 6, how many can you name?
So we're going back to it. So it would be
2003.
Gavin Mitchell?
Gavin Mitchell, no.
No. Jeff Farmer.
Yes, Farmer.
Okay. Oh, sorry, Dion Woods.
Yep, Dion Woods.
Roger Hayden.
Yep.
And Michael Johnson. No.
Well-known Doig medalist, and he came from another club. First name, Troy.
Oh, Troy. Troy. Okay. Oh, my God.
Now, the other two. All right. Fullback.
Yeah, that'll be Anthony Grover.
And the last one, one of our all-time faves, gets it on the outside, played at Brisbane as well.
Number one draft pick would be Des Hillen. Yep.
So, Cook, Grover, Hedlund, Farmer, Hayden, Coops, and Woods.
Oh, God.
What a group. Mate, it was so weird. So, I was watching back if you put Stephen Coops into YouTube,
yep.
Obviously there's some weird American stuff on there, but the main thing that comes over the Dockers is Dockers' 50 best marks in chronological order, and Coops has got a run of about 5 or 6 in a row.
Oh, boy.
So, he's high marking, mate. Obviously, you know, he's high flying. He's beautiful kick and things like that. Loved Coopsy. Bit of a legend. Used to call him old Chicken Coops. There you go. Classic. That's one for you. But look, what a bit of a cult hero, mate. What a bit of a cult hero. Youngest player ever to play for the Dockers. That record will never be broken.
No.
So he's got that record forever, mate.
Oh, that's impressive.
Mm. Oz, what do you got?
This is what I've got, mate. It's a redockable. If you haven't listened to the redockables, you need to go back and have a look at it because we put a lot of time into this while we're in lockdown. 1997 duck. Princess Park.
Yep.
Round one. Saturday, the 29th of March at 2:10 p.m. Now, if you want to know how many people rolled up to the venue, duck.
Can I guess, mate? Was it 8,664?
Yes.
Mate, I've got my notes out, the redocking notes, mate.
Look, mate, this was an absolute humdinger of a game. Now, before I actually start talking about stats and how the game went for certain players, can I just play you the final 40 seconds of this match? Now, bear in mind, in the final 40 seconds of this match, the Western Bulldogs are up by 1 goal with Brad Johnson about to kick along the boundary line and send it towards their attacking half. So they've got all of the play. All right. Are we good?
Good.
Here we go.
That kind of player from the same location. Just pointing it out. Johnson. Chisholm almost. Soccer. To Allen. All the Bulldogs. Now Abraham on his own. They've got to take a mark. O'Reilly advances. It's a goal! Dockers in front with 26 seconds remaining.
All right, so 26 seconds remaining. Winston Abraham with one of the all-time goals.
Mm.
At a time where we needed something special.
From about 60 out.
From about 60 out.
Dodges, slinks around.
Admittedly, you can't see the 50-meter line. I don't even know if it exists. But you can't see where it, but he absolutely smashes the Doggies play to get the ball. Yeah, I'm doing reverse Victorian bias here because I don't know who it was because I didn't see it there, but I'll just call him the Victorian player. And gets the ball, Dukes, outside 60, over O'Reilly's
head. Center square, mate, I got in my notes.
Yeah.
Now, Oz, amazing. Are you going to play the rest of that?
Yeah.
You know what happens straight after? No, you don't have to play it.
Yeah.
Did you know what happened straight after that?
Yeah, we had
I've got it in my notes.
It's a bit of a melt.
Shawnee Mack gets it on the wing and kicks it straight out of bounds. 30 metres sideways, straight out of bounds on the full.
Yeah.
When all we have to do is hold on. He could have done anything that he did would have been better than what he did. And they still managed to nearly have a shot, mate. But
we win.
What a game.
That's the main thing. Look,
what a game, mate.
Now, the flying egg, Andrew Wills, just had one of those games, mate. 22 disposals. Three
I've
got goals.
In my notes, mate. Wills, flying egg.
So 22 disposals, 3 goals, 2 behinds. Could have kicked 5 goals, 3 tackles, 3 Brownlow votes. Pretty good. The other guy that was pretty handy on the day was our friend at the Fremantle Football Club, Shawnee Mack, who is a cult hero. 19 disposals, 1 tackle, and 2 Brownlow votes just for his sheer hard work. But on the day, Duck, a number of goal kickers.
Mm.
Obviously, Wills with 3. Daniel Bandy had 2. And then singles to Quentin Leach. Winston Abraham, obviously, with the winner. Ben Allen, Peter Mann, and Daniel Parker.
Daniel Parker.
Now, Daniel Parker. That's right. So, from the jaws of defeat, we snatch a victory. Sensational work. Now, I'm going to do a bit of a deep dive here, Duck. And okay.
Deeper than what we did on our
little deeper here, mate. I'm going to go to the Brownlow medal tally. Ooh. Now, the Brownlow medal tally. Now, there was one player that year who polled more than 10 votes. Who was that player?
For the Dockers.
For the Dockers.
I reckon it was the Flying Egg.
It was the Flying Egg, Andrew Wills, with 15 votes. The next closest.
15 votes?
Yep. The next closest was Luke Toyer with 6. And then we had a string of fives. Five, we had Craig Callahan, Quentin Leach, Clive Waterhouse, Shawnee Mack, all on 5. Now, there is one guy here who played, or he has the illustrious stat line of having played one game with one kick, one mark, one handball, and who would that player be? Number 41.
For us?
For us.
41?
Yeah. Oh, this is a tough one, mate. This is a question without notice. This season, his name would be Matthew Klukas.
Oh, Klukas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Mate, how about Daniel Hargrave in that game? I remember
It's pretty funny.
Mate, in my notes, I've got Scotty Chisholm. Oh, five yeah. Free kicks against.
Yes. Yeah, but if you watch that game, are you not excited? Are you not entertained?
Yeah. And Peter Mann dropped about 10 marks. But, guys, yep. If you really want to listen to that match and the Redockables, our Redockables is on this feed, plus our other feed, The Purple Rain.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to it, and you'll get a great understanding. Watch the match on YouTube and then listen to the Redockables. The full match is on there.
Yeah.
I think we've got links in the buys as well, so have a crack at that. Now, Oz.
Go.
It's time to get on to the odds, mate. It's time to go to the bookmakers. The Fremantle Dockers, $2.81 versus Western Bulldogs, $1.42. There's a 12.5-point handicap for the Dockers. What are our chances?
I think our chances are very good. We're one of the teams. I think we're one of the top three teams in form at the moment. Right now, I'd trust us the way we're playing to keep within 2 goals of any team in the competition.
Yeah,
and beat most teams. Excuse me. So I'm going to go the way that we want to finish strong. I know it's probably a little bit more on the line for the Doggies than there is for us.
Yep.
I mean,
definitely.
People would argue, oh, you should always be hungry, but they're playing for finals. So, in a boil over, Fremantle Football Club get up by 3 points, Duck, in the final game of the season that sets up a finals run next year. Yeah, I've said it.
Well, mate, the other thing that could happen as well is you've got to understand this. If GWS and Melbourne both lose, the Doggies are guaranteed a spot, and they're not going to make up 8%.
Yeah.
8% on the ladder.
So they
would
know going into that
game. So, well, that means St Kilda go up to 10 wins, so they can't go past St Kilda. They won't be able to go past St Kilda on their thing. So they'll know.
Yeah.
So they may, like they did previously against the Dockers when Pavlich's last game, they kind of just gave up a half time.
Yeah.
And they'll, like, take it easy. But, you know, they may not have anything to play for as well. And their mentality might be thinking weeks ahead, where there's Dockers players maybe playing going, all right, I want my spot. I want my spot for next year. We know there's been list cuts. I want to be able to guarantee that I keep playing in this team. We know there's good players coming back. I really think as well, J-Lo, you look at the way he's been talking to the players, everyone eyes on him. No one wants to let him down, mate. You don't want to be.
Yep.
And I think J-Lo will bring the message of, hey, very last minute, we fight tooth and nail, every second counts.
Yep.
Every second counts of every minute of every game that we play and we represent the Dockers.
I think that is Duck, before you go any further, that is such a perfect analogy of how a strong football team should operate every time. It's the mantra. And the reason why that is the case is it is so hard to build the culture where every possession matters.
Yeah.
Where every second that you have an opportunity to have an impact, you have an impact.
Yeah.
And if we can do it in this game, mate, oh.
Well, I think we've got a red hot chance. And I tell you what, if I was Western Bulldogs and it came down to they have to win this game, mate, I think they're in a bit of trouble. I think the Dockers will stick with them. I watched Western Bulldogs play against Eagles a couple of weeks ago and they didn't impress me much. It's the only time I've seen them all year. And, you know, against a pretty injury-rattled Eagles side, they weren't able to put them away. And if the Dockers can get their forward line to click like it was last week, if they, their back line's been just running like a well-oiled motor, that midfield continue to work strong, you know, I think we've got a red-hot chance. And if we can lead by the dominance of Sandy in the ruck and hopefully, you know, being able to overcome, because their back line isn't that great. Their forward line's pretty solid, but it's their midfield that they get all their run and they generate everything wrong. But I just think if we can get over the top of their midfield, and we do have a really strong midfield now that matches up pretty well against them, I think we've got a red hot sniff, mate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. All right, on that note, guys, we will leave it for this year. We're done. Now, hopefully we get to interview some players sometime soon, but COVID-19 restrictions, you never know. So we might be back. If not, hopefully we'll see you in the new year.
Yes, looking forward to it.
But make sure, guys, you subscribe, rate, and review. And also, why not follow us, Duck and Oz, on the Purple Rain. We're at Purple Rain 95, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And also, guys, we do our own podcast on after a game where we review the show. So if you're not listening to the Purple Rain, but you listen to the Purple Patch, I mean, what are you doing? Come on, like, give us a break. Just come over and join us. All right, guys, thank you very much. Thanks for a great year. Keep listening. Remember, tell your friends. Why not? Get around it. See ya.
See you, guys.